Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. We'd like to say we appreciate the prayers of the congregation while we were out. And several of you called, a couple stopped by and dropped some things off. And hopefully all were praying. And we appreciate all that you have done and that you all continue to do. But looking at the eyes and some without a mask, their smiles on our coming back, welcoming us back. And again, I appreciate that. Even those that saw fit to bother me this morning and asked, why are you sitting down? You're generally up running around. Well, I was thinking about Brother DeMel on last week, and Brother DeMel said that he wasn't going to keep you long on last week. He was going to be short. Well, I'm going to make up for some of that time, Brother DeMel. No, not really. Well, maybe. Who knows? It is good to be loved. I just want to say that. And we had the opportunity yesterday to go by and to sit with Brother Brown for a little while. And it saddens my heart, but I am also glad that Brother Brown served the Lord.
Amen.
In the capacity of a servant, in the capacity of an elder.
Amen.
Leading this congregation, I would not have known some of the streets if it were not for Brother Brown to go and knock on doors. And even when he was down and really not feeling up to par, he still came out and did as Brother Clifford would do. He would drive, put you out, and let you knock those doors. Still playing a part in trying to reach the lost. I will never forget those things. Sister Monica and family have gone through a great ordeal, just as many others have gone through. And she needs our prayers, our support. And I know that many of you have called her, have texted her, have stopped by. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to do it. He, as you all know, has been announced that hospice has been called in. She wanted him home, and that's where he is right now.
Amen.
And will be there, if it is the Lord's will, until his last breath. So let's continue to pray for the Brown family.
Amen.
On this morning, I want to talk to you in reference to the question, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Many people have heart problems. They have a heart problem not because of what man thinks of, or shall I say the carnal mind thinks of, when we talk about a person with a heart condition. They may think that, well, his heart is not beating up to the par in which it needs to beat in order to keep this individual active, keep him alive, pumping the blood the way it needs to be. That is not the heart I'm talking about. Let us not get confused. Let's address the spiritual part of man, the heart condition that many people have because they don't want to do right before God. That is a heart condition. And then those that want to do right and do right, that is a heart condition. Jesus did not mince his words here. Jesus did not, say it in a tone that you could not understand or that it would not be understood. When he says in Matthew chapter 5 in the verses 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. How many people have seen God? How many people have seen God? Now we know that there were some that walked with Jesus, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But how many have actually seen the Father? What Jesus was making reference to there is what I am doing. This is the same thing that the Father would do, because this is what the Father told me to do. This is what the Father wanted me to do, and I came to do the will of the Father. Amen. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, seeing God is not believing that there is a God. Seeing God is not knowing that, you know, you, if you do what's right, that you will be able to get into heaven. That's not what this is all about. What this is about is having faith in God and being obedient to God and dying in faith so that you will be able to get into heaven to see Him and be with Him throughout all eternity. That's the God that I want to see. Yes, we see Him through the Word. Yes, we understand what He wants us to do. But seeing Him face to face is what we all should long to do. Amen. And not to hear those dreadful words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But to hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, because we want to see Him. We want to be with Him. We want to worship Him around the throne throughout all eternity. I believe that there are some people that when they answer this question, and if they're really honest with themselves, they would say, my heart is not right with God. You remember, we've talked about it. We've had some discussion about it. We've even had some disagreements about it. I don't even have to look over there at him, Brother Glenn. I'm going to look at you, because he know who I'm talking about. He's over there laughing. When it was told by Peter unto Simon the sorcerer, I perceive that your heart is not right with God. You are in a gall of bitterness. You're caught up in this thing. Now he told him to repent. Perhaps God may forgive him. And we have to understand that if your heart is not right with God, and that if you die in that state, then you're not going to see Him. You're not going to be with Him. So we have to understand that we have to get our lives right before it is too late. The cause of a pure heart. Now, we need to know how to keep our bodies functioning correctly. But how are we going to keep our spiritual minds performing correctly? The cause of a pure heart. Do you want a pure heart this morning? You know, I believe that when we go to the doctor and the doctor talks to us, we want him to give us a clean bill of health. We want to hear all the right things from him. And I've told you in reference to my doctor, and my doctor always tell me, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. Well, we called him the other day and made an appointment, and I was telling some of you, well, you know, I got an appointment with the doctor, and I believe I told you it was on one day, and it really wasn't. It was on another day, and that's because I was a little bit whatever. But I got a call from the doctor's office, and they said, well, since you have COVID, don't come in. The doctor will call you. And the doctor did. He called me and we had a conversation. The conversation was not that long. And you know what the doctor told me? He said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. He said, we don't need to call any medication in on you. He said, but if things get worse, if things get to the point where they're unbearable, he said, give me a call. I haven't called him back yet. So I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. And someone told me this morning as they walked in, it's about time you came back to work. I've been working, and I'm not going to even look over there at them, Brother DeMille. They know who I'm talking about. I've been working. I did not stop working. I just wasn't present here at the congregation on last Wednesday, the Wednesday before, and last Sunday, but I'm here today. I'm here today to bring you the Word of God. To let you know that in order to have a pure heart, these are the ways that you can do it. This is just a few ways. Now, there are many other ways. But I want you to look there in James chapter 4, and the verse is 8. James chapter 4, and the verse is 8. Do you want a pure heart? Again, if the doctor tells you what you need to do in order to stay healthy, will you not do those things? Well, some will and some will not. When God tells you what you need to do in order to have a pure heart, will you do those things? Some will and some will not. Here James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write these words down so that we may have them to understand what God desires of us. It says, draw near to God in James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God has done his part. Jesus has done his part. The Holy Spirit has done his part. Now we need to do our part. Here, James is not talking to the non-Christian. He's talking to a Christian. A person that has put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism, but yet there are some that still need to understand the importance of drawing near to God. Amen. And knowing that when you draw near to Him, that He draws near to you. Amen. And when you draw near to Him and He draws near to you, that He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, those individuals that thought that it was good to be friends with the world and still think that they could be friends with God, he said, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to be in a relationship with me and try to step out on me and to commit spiritual adultery. He said, I'm not going to have it. He said, so cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is important. You want to know how to have a pure heart? Get your life right with God. Amen. Quit being friends with the world, because he said friends being friends with the world, it means that you are in enmity with God. Amen. And we want God to be our friend. Amen. We want God to accept our worship. So therefore, we need to do the things that are right. From time to time, we find ourselves falling short. We find ourselves in a condition where we can't pray to him, because we know that we're caught up, as it was told unto Simon, you're caught up in the gall of bitterness. But you don't have to stay that way. All you have to do is pray to the Father. You get your life right with him and everything will be okay. Amen. Ask him. As it is stated here by David in Psalm 51 and the verses 10. See, we need to ask God for some things. See, a lot of times we come to him, and yes, we thank him, Brother Simmons. And I just, you know, just really appreciate Brother Simmons' prayer, because Brother Simmons get caught up on thanking God. Amen. And that's okay. We need to thank him for all that he has done for us. But when we finish thanking him, we need to ask him to do something for us. And here it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me. How is that going to take place? How is God going to create a new heart, a clean heart in you? He's given us his word. We have all that we need in order to fulfill what we ask God. He gives it to us. So all David had to do is to be obedient unto God. And David did that. David was obedient. The Bible tells us, yes, he had his shortcomings. Yes, David slipped with Bathsheba, but he didn't fall. When his sin was pointed out by Nathan, he got those things right with God. Don't stop in Psalm 51. Go ahead and read Psalm 52. And you will understand what I'm talking about. We need to know that we serve a living God. We serve a just God. We serve a God that we need to communicate with. And as we communicate with him, he communicates with us. In James chapter 3 and the verse is 10. James chapter 3 and the verse is 10. So we need to make wise choices. Wise choices. You know, I think back quite often about the decree that Joshua put before the people. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And I believe that as we think about what Joshua put forth toward the children of Israel, we today need to choose who we will serve. And as we make that choice, we understand that God is watching. James chapter 3 and the verse is 10. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things are not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You know, as reading this verse right here, it brings to my remembrance a movie I was watching a couple of days ago. See, I don't have to remember back that far, just a couple of days ago. This individual walked into a pet store, didn't have any money, but his child was needed a present. And he say, I looked over there and all of these animals that was in here, there wasn't a puppy, but there wasn't a cat. I think that's what he was looking for. He said, but there was puppies and there was this and that was that. But I looked over there and in this aquarium was a yellow fish all by itself, a yellow fish, something that he had never seen before. He picked up that aquarium and walked out of that store and was walking down the alley and thought to himself, why take her one fish? Let me go back. And he went back and he got that little net and he started scooping these other pretty fish out of the tanks and putting them into this fish, into the same aquarium with that one lone yellow fish. Oh, I've done great. Done great. Take it home and put it there. And he went to sleep and woke up to screaming and hollering. He was like, what's going on? And he walked in. And all the fish were floating on the top. And we know fish don't float on the top unless they're dead. Except for that lone yellow fish. See, you can't put freshwater fish into salt water. They will not survive. And I want you to understand that when we say things that we should not say, when we do things that are against God's will, when our mouth is speaking cursings and then we're trying to bless with that same tongue, it will not work. God will not accept it. You are floating on the top of the water. You are dead and need to be brought back alive. So we need to know what God desires of us, and we need to do the things that will cause us to have a pure heart. How's your heart this morning? How do you feel this morning? Oh, I feel good. Oh, I got a little pep in my step. But no, how is your heart this morning? How are you with God? What type of relationship do you have with him? Why should we desire a pure heart? Why should we? We should desire a pure heart because this is what God wants us to have. That should be answer enough. We shouldn't have to answer it anymore, but we are going to with a couple of scriptures on this morning. Why should we desire a pure heart? In the book of 2 Corinthians, the chapter is 5 and the verse is 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse is 10. Why should we desire a pure heart? Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. How many times have you sat down to take a test? And but before you went in to take that test, you looked over your notes. You looked at the things that they told you would be on the test, the things that you had highlighted in your book, and you reviewed those things. I remember taking a test, and right before I took that test, I listened to it on tape, and I just went through all the questions, and I got in there, and I sat down, and I said, turned my test in the left, and everybody was looking like, what? I reviewed. I knew what was going to be on the test, and I looked at the material that had been given, and I studied for it, and I said, I'm going to pass this test. Well, I want us to know that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if we have not studied, we're going to fail.
Amen.
We're going to fail. And we're being graded every day. Every day. Look what he says again. And the reason I say we're being graded every day, because we have our good days and we have our bad days. But he said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Our God does not grade, does not judge on a curve. It's straightforward. What you get is what you get. Don't throw a fit. You're going to get what you have studied for. So let's make sure that we're doing what is right. And I know that there is somebody that says, but he's going to have mercy. Oh, he's going to extend grace. Yes, true. Right now, he's extending mercy. He's extending grace. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, once that individual dies, it's too late to say, may God have mercy on his soul.
Amen.
Why do I say that? I say that because he's going to judge you according to what's in the book.
Amen.
By this book, he's going to judge each one of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14. We need to understand the truth concerning God's word. That some of the things that we find in the old, yes, we find them in the new as well. But here in the book of Ecclesiastes, it leads us to the knowledge of knowing that there's no excuse. For he says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, again, the greatest preacher, not talking about Jesus, but the greatest preacher was Solomon. And here are the words that were penned by him. The end of the matter. Some versions say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not part of it. Not most of it, but the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Why? For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whether good or evil. You know, I had a commander one time, and he was one of the biggest liars that I have ever known. And he would call his supervisor, and he would lie to him and lie to him. And when I would see his supervisor would ask me, what's going on down there? And I wasn't afraid to tell him, but I had no need to lie to him. He was a major and I was a corporal, but I knew that each morning that he got up, that he put his BDU pants on one leg at a time, just as I did. And he respected me and I respected him. And when I walked in his office, most of the time you have to salute him. But what he would do, he would stand up and he would reach his hand across the table and we would shake hands. That's the type of relationship that I had. He knew that I would tell him the truth. And after the captain lied to the major would ask this lonely corporal, what's going on down there in your unit? And I would lay everything out for him. And then I would go back to the unit, and here I am talking to some of the other soldiers, and I would say this and that about the captain. Then the captain would come and ask me, and I say, yes, sir, I did say. And what I did say was this very thing that really bothered him, but lying did not. What bothered him was when I said, "Yes, sir, I called you evil." That bothered him. But you know, it did not bother him to a point of changing. And that's what bothered me. Because the Bible again says that we will give an account. That everything will be bring, that for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil, just as we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 as well. We're going to be judged. Whether it's good things or evil things, we're going to be judged. Lying is evil. And that's just one of the things that we can name. We know that there are a whole lot of other sins that are evil as well. But I want us to know that God is not going to overlook those things. But we can get them right. Amen. If you so desire to. Amen. So why should we desire a pure heart? Because God wants us to have a pure heart. Because he's going to judge the heart of man. I don't care how good you look this morning. God does not care how good you look. God wants to know, how is your heart? Amen. And he sees it. You don't have to tell him. He already knows. But you know, you hear people say from time to time, you are what you eat. What are you? What are you? Solomon says you are what you think. That's really what we need to consider. So if you like chocolate cake, you may think that you're chocolate cake. Again, you may think that you're chocolate cake, but you're really not chocolate cake, but you're going to be judged according to you saying, I'm chocolate cake. Does that make any sense to you? Let me break it down for you. For that man that goes and have a sex change and think he's a woman, he's going to be judged according to what he think. Amen. He's not a woman. He is still a man. Amen. You ever looked at that talk show? One of the worst ones out there probably. And I can't remember exactly which show he was on. But the man said that, the woman said, they said that this woman was pregnant. But this woman actually had a sex change and was a man. But now they think this is a miracle or some sort or another. Women have babies, not men. Amen. So it was not a man that had that child. It was a woman. But she is going to be judged on what she thought. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Now do you understand, Brother Brian? Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's read verse 6 and 7. Do not eat the bread of man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Here he's telling you, eat and drink. You ever told somebody that? Something that you really wanted? And here's somebody else coming and asking for it. And you say, oh, just go eat all you want. In your mind, in your heart, you said, don't eat it. I want it. But you don't say that. God knows what you're thinking. Amen. And a lot of times people are looking at your facial expressions and they know what you're thinking. You don't really want me to have that, do you? And there you are lying to them. Say, yes, I really do. I'm going to tell you quick, if I don't want you to have it, I don't want you to have it. Dante don't appreciate that. Well, Papa, think all this is his. Well, it is. But I don't mind sharing some things. But here this person is saying, eat and drink, he says to you. But his heart is not with you. God sees these things. God knows these things. And we will be judged according to all that we have done, things that we think, our actions, the words that we speak. We're going to be judged according to those things. So how is your heart this morning? What is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? What makes our hearts pure? What makes our hearts pure? We need to know what makes our hearts pure. If you don't know, you don't know. It's no sin in not knowing. But when you find out, make sure that you change those things. Amen. You know, you got a heart problem. The doctor tell you, and I need you to drink more grape juice. What do? You go and you buy grape juice, and you drink that grape juice because you want your heart to be right. You want it to pump strong. You want that blood to flow freely. Well, God tells us how to have a pure heart. What are we going to do? Obedience with no reservation causes us to have a pure heart. Obedience without reservation. Do we understand what that means? If not, let us think about Abraham just for a moment from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 8. What was told to Abraham? Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I need you to go down there. And here we are. What do you mean go down there? What? Give me some direction. How to get to there? Abraham didn't ask that, did he? God said, go. He said, it's going to be a place I'll show you. I need to see it now, God. No, Abraham didn't do that. Abraham, the Bible says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, we see that from time to time. You know, people say, I want you to take this phone and I'm going to call you when you get to such and such point, and then I'll give you more directions. You know, some of y'all have been on scavenger hunts before. And there are some other things out there that people do that I'm going to blindly go out here and do these things because I trust that the people that are telling me to do them, that they're not leading me astray. I want you to think about all the people that you read about that have been kidnapped, that have been abducted because they have done things that somebody told them to do and not really realizing the harm that it was going to cause to themselves. Abraham didn't think any harm was going to come to him by doing what God told him to do. He had a pure heart. And then we understand from looking at 2 Samuel chapter 12 and the verses 13, again, going back and thinking about David. Thinking about David and the life that David had. Being a king now, David wasn't perfect. David sinned. And here we find Nathan rebuking David, telling him about his sin. But to have a pure heart, to be like God, David was a man after God's own heart. How was this possible with the life in which he lived? When God selected him to be king, God did not look at his countenance. He looked at the heart of David. He knew what type of person David was. The things that David would go through and the way David would feel when those things was pointed out to him. See, from time to time, we need things pointed out to us. And here Nathan is pointing out to David what he had done because God had sent Nathan to him. The Bible says there in verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Isn't that great? To confess your faults, to know what you have done and say, you know, I've sinned against the Lord. I've sinned against God. And knowing that God will forgive you for that. And that's what Nathan pointed out to David. You're not going to die. God has put away your sin. See, we need to have our sins put away. We need to be told that we're going to live. We need to say, you know, my heart is right with God. I've done what I was supposed to do. And I've done those things gladly. And we can be like Paul. From 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse is 7. We can be like Paul. See, knowing again, obedience with no reservation and godly sorrow for sin changes the heart of man. And being steadfast until the very end allows us to know that there is something that awaits us. 2 Timothy 4 and the verses 7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've done what I was supposed to do. My heart is right with God. I've been obedient to Him. No, Paul wasn't always the man that he was supposed to be. But all that he did with a clear conscience, the Bible says. But he changed in godly sorrow for sin, for what he did wrong. He asked Jesus, Lord, what must I do? And Jesus told him what he needed to do. We need to understand today that to have a pure heart, we need to enter the body of Christ. And how are you to enter the body of Christ? You enter the body of Christ by hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want a pure heart this morning? Listen to what God has to say. He is no new revelation. Maybe new to you because you never heard it before, because you never read it before, but there's no new revelation. We have all that we need that pertain to life and godliness. Believe, the Bible says, Jesus himself talking in John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you would die in your sins. You would die in your sins. What do I need to do then? What do I need to do? Understanding now that I've sinned, now that I've committed, you know, adultery against God, I've left him, what do I do? The people on the day of Pentecost, when they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent, repent. So repentance is necessary. To have a change of mind is necessary. To turn from your wicked ways is necessary. To have a pure heart. Amen. Doesn't stop there, though. Now that you have heard, now that you believe what you have heard, obedient faith into doing what is right, repenting, you must confess. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That's Jesus again. And you know what the people say? Give me the red letters. I'm giving you God's word this morning, whether they're red or whether they're black. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let us be obedient unto what he says. And then, once you hear, believe, repent, and confess, how do you obtain salvation? How do you enter into the body of Christ? Entering the body of Christ is necessary for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 21. As many... Let me back up just a minute. I'm thinking of another scripture. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. The like figure, baptism does not also save us. Amen. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Amen. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, 21. Are you willing this morning to change the condition of your heart? You know, God can do it for you. But it's not going to amount to anything. You have to be willing because, again, he's giving us that free choice. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Put him in the best place. But they chose to do wrong. So today, let's choose to do right. Amen. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Let's make up in our minds that we want to have a pure heart, that we want to live right before him. Not just today, but every day. So what must we do? We must continue to be faithful. Once you hear, believe, repent, and confess, and be baptized, be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You want a pure heart? do what is right. Be that person that God has called you to be. Be the person that you know that you should be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What is the condition of your heart? If you need to confess your faults, don't be afraid to do so. Talk to God. You that are Christians, we that are Christians, you want to be right with Him, talk to Him. The Bible says, if you confess your faults unto Him, He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9. Do what is right. But if you're not a child of God and you want to become one, come forth this morning. Repent of your sins and be baptized, going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're here this morning, and you're subject to the invitation, whether you're an alien sinner, whether you've never come to Christ before, or whether you are an erring saint, have come to Him but have left Him, the invitation is yours. If you're here and you're subject to it, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.